Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of Jamaica, a journey through time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, Genesis, the First Settlers. The arrival of the Taino. The year was approximately 600 AD, and the Taino people, a branch of the Arawakan-speaking peoples, embarked on a journey that would carve the foundations of Jamaican history. They traveled in large, sturdy canoes carved from the trunks of giant trees, crossing vast stretches of the Caribbean Sea. Their destination was a lush island adorned with verdant hills, crystalline rivers, and fertile valleys, a paradise they would come to call Zamaka, meaning land of wood and water. Upon arrival, the Taino discovered an untouched world teeming with life. The dense forests echoed with the calls of exotic birds, while the surrounding waters brimmed with fish and other sea creatures. The island was a treasure trove of natural abundance, promising sustenance and prosperity. They settled along the coastlines, crafting small villages of circular huts called bohayos, constructed from wood and thatched palm leaves. At the heart of these villages lay communal spaces where stories were shared, rituals performed, and decisions made. The Taino lived by a code of harmony with nature, their lives intertwined with the land and its rhythms. A culture of innovation and balance. The Taino were master agriculturalists, cultivating crops like cassava, maize, sweet potatoes, and yams. They ingeniously designed canucos, raised mounds of earth, to ensure the fertility of their soil. Fishing was equally vital, and they used nets woven from palm fibers and hooks carved from bones to bring in bountiful catches. Their craftsmanship extended to pottery, weaving, and woodworking, with every tool and vessel a testament to their skill and resourcefulness. Their social structure was organized yet egalitarian. A cacique, or chief, governed each community, supported by advisors and spiritual leaders known as bohiques. The cacique's word was law, but it was delivered with an understanding of the needs of the people. Festivals, dances, and games like Beti, a precursor to modern-day soccer, were central to their community life. Spiritual beliefs and rituals. The Taino worshipped a pantheon of gods and spirits, known as Zimis, who governed natural forces and human destinies. They believed in a sacred connection between the physical and spiritual worlds. Temples adorned with intricate carvings housed their sacred objects, while the bohiques performed ceremonies to honor the spirits and seek guidance. Rituals involving cohoba, a hallucinogenic powder, allowed spiritual leaders to communicate with the Zimis. These ceremonies were accompanied by chanting, drumming, and the rhythmic movements of dancers, creating an atmosphere of reverence and unity. For the Taino, life was a delicate dance of respect for the seen and unseen. Challenges and triumphs. Despite their resourcefulness, life on Zamaka was not without challenges. Hurricanes swept across the island, sometimes leaving devastation in their wake. Yet, the Taino adapted, rebuilding their homes and replanting their crops with resilience born of their bond with the land. Intertribal conflicts also arose, particularly with the Caribs, a neighboring group known for their fierce reputation. The Taino defended their communities with bows, arrows, and clubs, using their intimate knowledge of the terrain to their advantage. Through these trials, the Taino thrived for centuries, shaping the land and leaving an indelible mark on its identity. They believed in the continuity of life and the enduring strength of their people, unaware that the arrival of foreign ships would one day shatter their world, setting the stage for change. As the Taino thrived, their stories, songs, and traditions wove into the fabric of Zamaka's landscape. Their presence was the heartbeat of the island, a symphony of resilience, creativity, and harmony. Little did they know, their land's beauty and riches would soon attract others from distant shores. Outsiders who would view Zamaka not as a home, but as a prize. This chapter of peace and prosperity was but the beginning of a tale that would grow darker, yet infinitely more complex, as the world collided with their shores. Chapter 2. The Winds of Change, Spanish Conquest. The Dawn of European Contact. In the year 1494, the serenity of Zamaka was disrupted by the arrival of strange vessels on the horizon. These ships, with their billowing sails and creaking wooden hulls, carried explorers led by Christopher Columbus. Columbus and his crew had set out in search of new trade routes, but stumbled upon the Caribbean islands, viewing them as gateways to untold riches. when their ships anchored off Jamaica's shores, the encounter marked the beginning of a cataclysmic era. The Taino, curious but cautious, greeted these newcomers with gifts of food, hospitality, and their native kindness. To Columbus, however, the island and its people were resources to exploit. In his journals, he described the Taino as noble savages, perceiving their simplicity as a sign of inferiority and an opportunity for subjugation. The Spanish claimed Jamaica. The Spanish established their claim to Jamaica, though their immediate focus lay on other larger and more resource-rich territories in the Americas. Jamaica's strategic position made it valuable as a waypoint for ships traveling between Europe and the New World. While the Taino initially lived alongside the Spanish settlers, the relationship soon soured as the colonizers imposed their rule. The encomienda system, a world of exploitation. The Spanish implemented the encomienda system, forcing the Taino to work in agriculture and mining. While Jamaica lacked the extensive gold reserves of neighboring territories, the Spanish believed its fertile soil and abundant resources could be cultivated for wealth. The Taino were compelled to plant crops, build settlements, and support the Spanish economy. Under the encomienda system, the Taino faced brutal working conditions, starvation, and exposure to foreign diseases such as smallpox and measles. Entire villages were decimated, their vibrant culture fading under the weight of forced labor and violence. Within decades, the once thriving Taino population dwindled to near extinction. Resistance and despair. The Taino did not accept their fate passively. Many resisted, engaging in acts of rebellion to reclaim their freedom. Armed with bows, arrows, and clubs, they launched surprise attacks on Spanish settlements, often retreating into the dense forests for safety. Others chose a more tragic form of defiance. Rather than live as slaves, they leaped to their deaths from cliffs or consumed poisonous cassava. These acts of resistance were a heartbreaking testament to their refusal to submit to oppression. The arrival of African slaves. As the Taino population declined, the Spanish turned to Africa to sustain their labor needs. The transatlantic slave trade brought enslaved Africans to Jamaica, marking the beginning of a demographic and cultural shift that would redefine the island. These African captives brought with them their own traditions, beliefs, and resilience, which would eventually blend with other influences to shape Jamaica's future. Jamaica as a strategic outpost. While the Spanish viewed Jamaica as a secondary colony compared to Hispaniola and Cuba, they recognized its strategic importance. Spanish governors established small settlements like Sevilla La Nueva and later Villa de la Vega, modern-day Spanish Town. These towns became administrative centers, though they were modest compared to the grand cities of the Spanish Empire. Jamaica served primarily as a supply hub, providing food, water, and timber to Spanish fleets. Despite its marginal status in the empire, Jamaica's location made it a target for competing European powers, particularly the British, who saw it as a key stepping stone in their bid for Caribbean dominance. The seeds of change. By the early 17th century, Spanish rule in Jamaica had weakened. The settlers were few in number, their towns vulnerable to attacks by rival nations and pirates. The African population grew as enslaved workers replaced the vanishing Taino, and whispers of resistance and rebellion simmered among them. Unbeknownst to the Spanish, their hold on Jamaica was slipping, setting the stage for a dramatic upheaval. Another European power was watching, waiting to pounce, and ready to change the course of Jamaica's history once again. Chapter 3: Pirates and Conquistadors. The age of piracy begins. As the 17th century dawned, Spanish control over Jamaica weakened, leaving the island vulnerable to opportunistic adventurers. The Caribbean, with its vast expanse of sea routes and wealth-laden ships, became a pirate's paradise. Port Royal, Jamaica's primary harbor, evolved into a hub for privateers and buccaneers, a haven where lawlessness reigned and fortunes were made overnight. In 1655, the British seized Jamaica from the Spanish, recognizing its strategic value in controlling the Caribbean. While the Spanish attempted to reclaim the island, they failed, marking the beginning of British dominance. Port Royal, once a modest settlement, now grew into one of the wealthiest and most infamous ports in the world, a magnet for rogues and riches. The rise of Port Royal. Nestled at the mouth of Kingston Harbor, Port Royal became synonymous with decadence and debauchery. British authorities, unable to maintain full control over the island, struck deals with privateers, essentially state-sanctioned pirates. In exchange for protection against Spanish attacks, these privateers were allowed to keep a portion of their plunder. figures like Henry Morgan rose to prominence during this period. Morgan, a Welsh privateer, orchestrated daring raids against Spanish territories, returning to Port Royal laden with gold, silver, and other spoils. For his exploits, Morgan was knighted by the British Crown, cementing his status as both a hero and a symbol of the pirate age. Port Royal became a bustling city of contrasts. Merchants and craftsmen thrived alongside taverns, brothels, and gambling dens. The wealth flowing into the town was staggering, but it came at a cost. Crime, violence, and moral decay permeated every corner of the community. Pirates and privateers. The golden age of piracy was marked by legendary figures who carved their names into the annals of Jamaican history. Beyond Henry Morgan, names like Blackbeard, Calico Jack, and Nbonny became notorious. While some operated with the tacit approval of the British government, others acted as independent outlaws, preying on ships regardless of their allegiance. Jamaica's location made it ideal for pirate activity. Ships laden with goods from Central and South America passed by its shores, ripe for plundering. The waters around the island became a battleground, with pirates employing swift ships and cunning tactics to outmaneuver their prey. The 1692 earthquake, the fall of Port Royal. Port Royal's prosperity came to an abrupt and cataclysmic end on June 7, 1692. A massive earthquake struck the island, causing much of the city to sink into the sea. Buildings crumbled, and thousands perished as the bustling streets were swallowed by the waters. Survivors spoke of divine retribution, believing the city's debauchery had angered God. The disaster marked a turning point for Jamaica. While Port Royal never fully recovered, its demise paved the way for the rise of Kingston as the island's new economic and administrative center. The pirate era began to wane, replaced by a more structured and controlled colonial society. The legacy of piracy. Although piracy faded as the British tightened their grip on Jamaica, its legacy endured. Stories of buried treasure, secret maps, and daring exploits became part of the island's folklore. The tales of Henry Morgan and his ilk continued to inspire fascination, painting a romanticized picture of a brutal and lawless time. The transition from piracy to plantation economy marked a new chapter in Jamaica's history. The island's fertile lands became the foundation of a sugar empire, ushering in an era of prosperity for some and unimaginable suffering for others. Chapter 4: British Takeover and the Beginning of Slavery. The British Conquest of Jamaica. In 1655, during the Anglo-Spanish War, a fleet led by Admiral William Penn and General Robert Venables set sail for the Caribbean. Their target was Hispaniola, but after a failed attempt to seize the island, the British redirected their forces to Jamaica. The Spanish defenders were few, and after a brief skirmish, Jamaica fell into British hands. This marked the beginning of over 300 years of British rule, transforming the island into a pivotal asset in the empire. The Spanish settlers, unwilling to relinquish control, retreated to the mountains and waged guerrilla warfare. They allied with freed enslaved Africans, known as Maroons, to harass the British. Despite these efforts, the Spanish were ultimately defeated, and most fled the island. The British, now in control, turned their focus to economic development, ushering in a period of radical transformation. The shift to sugar plantations. The British quickly recognized Jamaica's agricultural potential. The island's fertile soil and favorable climate made it ideal for sugar cultivation, a commodity that was in high demand in Europe. By the late 17th century, sugar plantations began to dominate the landscape, reshaping both the economy and the social fabric of Jamaica. The rise of the plantation economy created an insatiable demand for labor. With the Taino population decimated and the Spanish system of forced labor in ruins, the British turned to the transatlantic slave trade. Ships carried millions of African captives across the Middle Passage, bringing them to the New World to work on plantations under brutal conditions. The horrors of the Middle Passage. The journey from Africa to Jamaica was a harrowing ordeal. Packed into the dark, stifling holds of ships, enslaved Africans endured weeks of unimaginable suffering. They were chained together, deprived of adequate food and water, and exposed to disease and abuse. Many did not survive the journey, their bodies cast into the sea as their captors pressed on toward their destination. Upon arrival, the survivors were sold at auctions and branded like livestock. Families were torn apart, and individuals were stripped of their identities, their names replaced with those of their owners. The plantation system was a machine of dehumanization, designed to extract maximum labor with minimal regard for human life. Life on the plantations. The daily reality of enslaved Africans on Jamaican plantations was one of relentless toil and suffering. From dawn to dusk, they worked the fields, planting, tending, and harvesting sugarcane. The process of turning cane into sugar was labor-intensive and dangerous, involving sharp tools and boiling vats of syrup. Punishments for perceived disobedience were swift and severe. Enslaved people faced whippings, mutilations, and executions, all meant to instill fear and suppress rebellion. Yet, despite the oppressive conditions, they found ways to resist. Through music, dance, religion, and oral traditions, they preserved fragments of their culture and maintained a sense of identity. The rise of the Maroons. In the rugged mountains and dense forests of Jamaica, escaped enslaved Africans formed communities known as Maroons. These groups, fiercely independent and deeply connected to the land, became a symbol of resistance against the plantation system. Led by figures like Nanny of the Maroons, these communities waged guerrilla warfare against the British. They ambushed supply lines, raided plantations, and provided sanctuary to other escapees. The British, unable to defeat them militarily, eventually signed treaties granting them autonomy in exchange for peace. The Sugar Empire and its impact. By the 18th century, Jamaica was one of the most profitable colonies in the British Empire. Its sugar exports fueled economic growth in Britain, enriching merchants and aristocrats. However, this wealth came at an incalculable human cost. The enslaved population far outnumbered the free, creating a volatile society rife with tension and brutality. The plantation system also led to significant environmental changes. Forests were cleared to make way for cane fields, and rivers were diverted to power sugar mills. These transformations reshaped the island's landscape, leaving scars that persist to this day. The seeds of rebellion. The inhumane conditions on plantations, combined with the strength and resilience of the enslaved population, planted the seeds of rebellion. From covert acts of sabotage to full-scale uprisings, enslaved Africans resisted their oppressors at every turn. The echoes of their defiance would grow louder, eventually culminating in the fight for freedom. As the Sugar Empire expanded, so too did the cracks in its foundation. Jamaica was on the brink of change, and the resilience of its people would shape the next chapter of its history.